Hey, Mama, you don't have time to be messing around endlessly scrolling to find a caregiver for your child. Let me clue you in to my trick to save time and my sanity when finding a sitter. SitterCity.com. SitterCity knows what they're doing. They've been helping busy parents find the perfect sitter for over 20 years. While other sites overwhelm you by throwing hundreds of random profiles your way, SitterCity matches you with caregivers who actually fit your needs. No endless scrolling, no guesswork. I love that all caregivers undergo ID verification. They have background checks, specialized qualifications, and real parent reviews to know if they showed up on time or really know how to handle my sassy toddler. And if I need help, I can talk to a real live human, not a robot, with SitterCity's delightful team. You know, my employer pays for me to get SitterCity completely free as part of my benefits. Yours could too. SitterCity is my go-to for a smarter, simpler way to find reliable, trustworthy care. Don't wait. Go to SitterCity.com/XX and get the help you need.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
It's John and Lance.
What in the hell is wrong with him?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776. We got Elliot on the line. He wants to talk a little MLB. What do you say, Elliot? How you doing?
Good morning. Doing well, guys. I have a question for you. So over the past couple of years, I've been putting the main focus on trying to get as many ballparks as I can, and I'm at number 15 right now. And I just wanted to get y'all's feedback on, A, have you guys been to a multitude of ballparks, and B, which one was your favorite? I would say Camden was the best one I'd been to, so I just wanted to get y'all's opinion.
Wow.
I loved Fenway and Wrigley, and I like Camden Yards, too. Yeah. Camden Yards is neat.
I like
it. Really is. It's got an old – it's the newest of those three, but it's still got that old school feel to it. I like old ballparks.
I haven't been to a ton. I did like Philadelphia. I like Philadelphia's new park. Well, when it was new, I went. I've been to Washington. They were okay.
I like Washington.
Yeah,
Washington's
okay.
Neat. You walk down to the field from the street level.
Yeah. No, it does sink down. Yeah. And I thought in San Francisco's good too.
I haven't been to San Francisco.
Depends on where you sit, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been there.
Kansas City, no.
The new Yankee Stadium is meh.
It's all right. Well, you know what? I mean, I liked it fine, actually. I thought the area around it, the area around the stadium, I didn't think there's anything special inside the stadium necessarily.
No.
The area it's pretty cool how they've got it all set up. Where there's a lot of places to go. There's a big, expansive area, you know, to take in. Like, there's plenty of room. That's the one
thing
about...
Well, the concourse is huge.
It's huge.
Huge.
Well, the concourse is huge.
But it's all just concrete. That's all it is. I don't know. I didn't find it was, when you go to Fenway, it's like you're in... That's where history is, you know. And Wrigley's the same way too. Sitting in the bleachers, it's old. The concourse is so small, you're barely getting through, fighting through people to get to your seat. I think that it's cool. I mean, you go to Yankee Stadium. I felt like it's all antiseptic. It's like you're in a giant hospital or something. I don't know.
Hmm.
I found that way in the White Sox new park is like that. I love a park that's got some character. It's got some feel to it.
Well, that's going to be older parks.
Yeah.
That's going to be older parks. Where does Minute Maid or Daikon?
I think we got a great park.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
I haven't been to enough to, but I like it. I mean, I think how you see the park, like what. For me, it's what it feels like when you. I've never sat in the bleachers typically, which is going to be a different view. But the view headed towards the field and out towards the outfield, that's one of the things that I like. What does the view look like? Yeah. I will admit, open air and nice weather makes a big difference if you go to a stadium like that. It was in Washington. I had no idea that Washington was as humid as it was. It was literally like being in Houston. It was terrible.
Yeah.
Just swamp ass all over the place.
Ricky says Pittsburgh. I've never been to Pittsburgh. I think it's the prettiest on TV. And I've been at, like, our hotel when we went to – going to play the Steelers. Our hotel room overlooked the baseball park, PNC, and it just looks gorgeous. And, I want to go to Pittsburgh. I want to go to a game at PNC.
Been to the city. Have you ever spent any time there?
In Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Going with the Texans.
I like Pittsburgh. Well, my dad obviously coached there for a little bit, but I thought it was really cool, way better than I expected. Went to the Warhol Museum, went and did some of the things in and around Pittsburgh. I thought it was a pretty cool place. It was better than I expected.
Yeah.
And I've heard good things about the park too.
You look at different ratings of ballparks, and Pittsburgh's always near the top. And like you said, San Francisco. Those are a couple of parks I've never been to. I want to. Those are two parks I want to go to before I die. So did you happen to hear? We didn't touch on this, and we can do it on the other side. Kristaps Porzingis is tired again. Did you hear this?
I didn't hear he's fatigued again. The guy who misses lots of action?
Well, apparently he's come back now. And he's talking about I forget the word that they use.
He's dealing with an illness.
A mystery illness that was an issue in March. They thought he was fine, and turns out he isn't fine. They don't know what it is.
And he's fatigued.
Yes, fatigued is the word.
He's fatigued. And I can't believe, because we had Kristaps Porzingis on a mobile on before, and he could barely get through the interview. And now, this is a little different because he's got it's a mystery illness. So, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but that dude is tired. That dude is just tired. And we'll play Josh Hart. Did you hear him on being fatigued? Apparently, because that fatigue is an issue here. We'll play Josh Hart's response on the other side. Right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But what we're going to play right now is the John Daspit commercial.
Well, John Daspit is a winner. He has a big win rate. And typically his cases don't go to court because the other side does not want that. He had a case in Beaumont, and it's like a nightmare for the other side. They thought they were going to bring in lawyers from out of state. Like, they have no idea what they're dealing with. And it's going to be a nightmare. John handles a lot of cases along, just all throughout Texas, really, from Victoria out to Beaumont, San Antonio. Really doesn't matter, Austin. Like, he's got offices all over the state of Texas. So if you or a friend or family member or coworker have an issue, John Daspit can step in, and his law firm can help out. But what he does is he understands the law. He understands what it takes to get these cases settled and finished, and you can get on with your life. But he wants to make sure that your settlement is a fair one. It's going to cover all the expenses and everything that goes into the injury that you sustained due to someone else's negligence. And I think that's why you have someone like John Daspit on your side. You don't want to go up against an insurance company whose primary job is to limit what they give you and to maximize their bottom line and profit. That's not the way it should work, so John Daspit makes sure it doesn't work that way. He's fighting for you. DaspitLaw.com is the website, or call anytime you want and consult with one of his lawyers. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I was just watching Metallica played Virginia Tech, their Lane Stadium, last night. Enter the Sandman. Gives you goosebumps. gives you goosebumps.
That's one of those songs that – how much of that for you is that it was like – that it hit another level because of Mariano
sports.
Rivera?
Well, and I think
– Or Hell's sports. Bells for Trevor Hoffman?
Right. I mean, for us probably, but it's, you know.
We think about that time, Enter Sandman and Mariano when he was coming to – obviously part of that Yankee dynasty, and the best time of Virginia Tech football history. Michael Vick was there in that late 90 period.
They were
on Thursday night football all the time. That was kind of their bag. And, of course, the night game aspect, and then because they were good, they had a lot of primetime games. That all came together at that time for that song. How old was that song at that time? When did that song originally come out?
Early 90s.
Okay.
Enter Sandman.
Yeah,
early 90s, I think. I think it was like maybe 90, maybe 89.
I feel like it's been around forever.
Yeah, it had been around more than that.
Enter Sandman, 1991 it was released.
Wow.
But it's got the build-up. Like, it's great for a sports – I mean, it's great for a reliever coming in. It may be the perfect song because it's got the slow build-up, and you got a bass line underneath it. And then you got drums, and it's like it's the anticipation, and then the gates come open, and then bum, 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 and then here comes Mariano Rivera. Like, iconic. Absolutely iconic. The only thing that would compare is if you have a good song that you can think of coming to the ring for a mixed martial art fighter or a boxer. You know, that's the only other – an individual who's coming in with – I mean, walk-up music is – it's a short – you know, it's what, six to eight seconds is all you get. You did have some fat Pat for when Alex Bregman came up to the plate.
Oh, my God. My buddy from Boston said, we were giving crap about the Celtics, and he's like, oh, yeah, look at this. I thought you said he was done, and look at him. He's hitting 327 with 9 homers already and 30. I mean, I'm just sick.
Alex Bregman hasn't had
9 homers in his career in April.
Why'd you tell him Bregman was done?
Yeah, because he's done.
He's not done.
He's done. We're done with him, so I'm done with
him. No, just imagine what he's going to do now. He's starting hot. He's
going to
end up with 66 home runs.
Yeah.
He's starting hot.
He doesn't have 9 homers in his career in April.
No.
And he's got 9 now. Screw him.
Pretty crazy.
Screw him. Major League Baseball, Talking Baseball says Major League Baseball is launching a new stat called the True Home Run. We just talked about Judge hit one the other day, first row in right field. That's an out in every other park, an out. It'll track balls that clear at least half of all Major League stadiums. Starting in 2026, players will have a separate home run total based on league-wide ballpark eligibility. I don't know that true home runs. Is that like true shooting percentage?
I mean, you're just trying to.
You're just trying to
quantify beyond the sport. At some point, it's fine. But at some point, are we just like? Is this just self-indulgent? True home runs. Now, I do think it's interesting to. It's a way to really. What it does is it is you basically crap on home runs that just sneak out.
Right.
That's all it really does.
Well, I think it's an Aaron Judge stat. And it'll probably be an Astro stat too with Crawford boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because there are cheapies.
True home runs. Yeah, I mean, look, as it pertains to playing on the road and free agency, yeah. I mean, I guess it does. You don't think the Astros look at Paredes? And what he does as a pull hitter, obviously they did.
I hope he takes huge full advantage of it. And, you know, Judge is taking advantage of it too. But are his numbers, I mean, are they going to look at him when they actually start counting? You know, is that really a true home run? Well, it's a number he's got, right? And how about all the doubles that are hit off the green monster
That was never a factor. No one ever really cared about it. They might care more, like I said, since everything is more – quantifiable.
Well, I'm just glad baseball has a stat.
Yeah. No, I'm glad they finally they don't came have up
enough,
with a new
baseball
stat.
Baseball doesn't have enough stats.
No. It's about time they came up with a new stat.
A new stat.
I mean, it's not really helping you. I don't know that I feel like I know. It does give you a little more insight into a player beyond the eyeball test. I get that, and I think that's, I think there's value. At some point, though, it does become a little bit of overkill. You know, when you're trying to, because there can be some data dredging done where you look at certain factors to try to make your point, like, okay, well, his FIP is this, so really what he's hitting right now doesn't really count.
Well, did you hear Rafael
or
Stone?
The FIP is pitching, right? FIP is the pitching metric.
The Rafael Stone thing the other day. Look at, you guys are better when Jalen Green isn't playing. And he's like, oh, man, dude, we use stats so much. I can make stats say anything I want. So
nah,
don't tell me we're better. Don't tell me we're better without Jalen Green.
I don't know. Those numbers were pretty compelling. The numbers that question was based on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm just looking right now. Ross Villarreal, my old producer from the other station, he did a post. My son Alex just sent it to me. How Jalen Green stacks up against other great young players, year one, year two, year three, you know, over time. And Jalen Green is really bad in terms of his, in terms of where he is as a player, by year four relative to the other players. Who's this other player? John Morant. The only guy, no, even John took a big step up. Jalen's efficiency rating is better than Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's efficiency rating has been terrible, actually. Wow. Terrible. And so has De'Aaron Fox. His efficiency rating has been terrible. But Jalen Green is right there with those guys. And Devin Booker's isn't great, actually.
No.
So what Ross did was put together a lot of advanced stats numbers, and comp them to what you might think could be Jalen Green's peers over the course of their first 4 years.
Trae Young,
yeah.
Jason Tatum, Ben Simmons, John Morant.
There's a lot of red on Jalen's ledger.
It's all red.
Which is not good.
Red is bad.
And frankly, Devin Booker's is really bad.
He was on some bad teams early.
Is he known as being a bad advanced?
Well, that's the first 4 years of his career.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
He was on a lot of bad teams early in his career.
Well, is what we're getting from it is that sometimes it starts like that and it's okay, or no?
No, even the starts aren't comparable to their starts.
The good players, Luka, Anthony Edwards, De'Aaron Fox got a lot better. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Now these are great. These are elite players. I don't think anyone's arguing Jalen Green's elite. You know, but we're talking Jason Tatum, SGA. These are MVP caliber.
But the conversation yesterday and really all week was, if we're trading him, are you in fear of trading away a great player who just isn't there yet? And Ross put together a lot of numbers that tell you he's not even on course to be what those guys were when they were 4 years in. So the projection is more about hope than actually numbers that say, yes, he's on the same path.
Okay, so and Chilish Altuve, with all the stuff that he says, he did ask a legitimate question.
Sure he did.
Did the Silas years hurt him? And so those are part of his first 4 years where it was just throw the ball up and, you know, I mean, there was no coaching. There was no, you know.
Well, I'm sure there was coaching. There was no discipline. There didn't seem to be any learning.
There was no discipline on or off the court. I mean, it was.
Yes, I would say his first 2 years, especially, you know, this is not somebody who came from, you know, John Morant played 2 years at Murray State, right? You had Jalen Brunson played 3 years at Villanova. These guys all played college ball. He didn't even play college ball. He didn't even play that much. Was he G League or overtime elite? I think he was in G League. He only played like 9 games or 14 games, some small amount. So not only did he have Steven Silas, who let players run all over him, and, yeah, I think he was hurt because, right, it's only been 2 years that he's getting grown-up behavior and grown-up accountability. So in a way, from an arrested development standpoint, he's only started over the last 2 years. Now, he's played a lot of basketball. He's gotten better as a player. And there's no excuse for not – like if you play 3 years of basketball against pros, you should get better. But in terms of how he approaches the game, for sure it just started, you know, the last couple of years. That's it.
Yep.
And
yep.
he didn't have a background of college basketball, and that hurts. Even well, 1 year of college basketball is good for a player.
So what's the trend for him under Ime? Better?
About the same from last year. Defense better, yeah. offensive
no,
numbers
no, 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 no. But Ime, his years, a couple of years now with Ime versus his years with Steven Silas,
well,
no, he's better.
The numbers are still the same shooting-wise and efficiency-wise. That's the scary thing is it hasn't really gotten better on offense. It's gotten better defensively.
Yeah.
That's kind of the weird thing is when you go look at the numbers, and I didn't do this until Dell made a point to try to hate on Jalen Green
right.
by giving us numbers during the year, and he was like, well, actually – and he started reading the numbers, and I'm like, wait, that can't be right. He can't be the same as he's been. He actually, if you go back and look at it, not a lot of change in what he's done offensively. The three-point shooting's gotten better. Not way better, but it's gotten better. Free throw shooting is, you know, well, slightly improved.
Not in the postseason, it didn't.
But the rest of the stuff is actually kind of the same. But the defense has made a big jump, huge jump. And I think the way he approaches a game, and that's not something you're going to put a number on. The way he approaches a game is more like a pro. And that matters to me if you're trying to win a championship. So, you know, I give him credit for that. Other people will just look at efficiency numbers. I think how he plays, how he approaches the game, his accountability, all that's gotten markedly better. And he defends. So, I mean, you know, give him some, show him some love for that.
Yep. All right. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to hang
with
us.
If I were a Celtic fan, I'd be so pissed off at ESPN.
Oh, so pissed off.
You got Monica McNutt who calls games on the radio for the Knicks. Yep. You got Alan Hahn who does all Knicks stuff. You got Stephen A. Smith who's a Knicks fan. Like, you can't get real coverage on this series if you're a Celtic fan.
And on Saturday, I believe that game's at 3:30 on ESPN or ABC, it's likely Mike Breen, who calls Knicks games locally.
Their TV.
Yeah.
Sorry, Celtics. No, you're not getting – it's unbiased. Oh, yeah, all Astros and Texans games have certainly been unbiased in the postseason. We never get that. Everybody hates Houston teams. We never – now you take at Boston. Now you know how we feel.
And now
jerks.
We lost Ben Verlander.
Massholes.
We had Ben Verlander, but now he's got
Verlander doesn't care about the Astros.
He's got to tamp down his praise a little bit. He did pick them to win the division, but he's got to tamp it down because his brother's no longer on the team.
He's not there no more. Hey, it's just a couple of days away. You got the 10-year anniversary tournament at Texas Card House. It's going to be at Westheimer, and it's a $240 buy-in. One day, $50,000 guaranteed. Saturday. 2:00. Get there, okay? I know it's Mother's Day weekend, but it's only one day. $50,000 guaranteed for $240 buy-in. You get $30,000 worth of chips. It is on, baby. And you, because other $300 buy-ins, you're talking about $15,000 usually is on the line, something like that. Here, it's $50,000. So, I mean, that's a great, great tournament that you need to get to, Texas Card House. All right, just, even if you don't know how to play all that great, you never know what cards you're going to catch. Get on over there to Texas Card House. Get Hijack Poker if you'd like to play on your phone or laptop at home, whatever. You don't like to play with people, you like to play online. You're playing Texas people. It's only for Texas. You can only play in Texas, so you're playing Texas people. Texas Card House puts that out. It's Hijack Poker. You put in Spring 20 if it's your first time putting money in. If you put money in before, you put in Cash 20, and you get free $20 play on both of those sites. So you're looking for a great way to play, and this Saturday, $50,000 guaranteed for the 10-year anniversary tournament, $240 buy-in, starts at 2 Saturday at Texas Card House. Go to texascardhouse.com, texascardhouse.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I think we forgot to play the Josh Hart sound. We will actually a player who has some good perspective on things. But first, we got Gary, who's been waiting to get on. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, guys? Little mini rant about Jalen Green and just sports in general. Like, the Paul Silas thing is ridiculous, man. Like, didn't Al Shingun have the same coach? Like, did that stop him, you know, from, like, becoming an all-star?
Good point.
Like, the fact of the matter is Jalen has been solid. He has not been great. And somebody should just Wikipedia the NBA draft for, like, the last 15 years. Lots of players don't necessarily turn out to be great players. It's not the organization. It's not the coaches. Some people just aren't that good. It's really hard to be great. The same thing in football. If a quarterback doesn't succeed, it's the offensive line. It's the wide receivers. It's the coach. If you need all of that to be good, you're not that good. That's kind of the whole point of being a great player, is you overcome not necessarily great situations. So the thing with Jalen Green is that Jalen Green has basically been the same level of offensive player when he stepped in the league. Yes, he has gotten incrementally better, but the forecast on Jalen Green is not like some all-NBA player, and it has nothing to do with a freaking Paul Silas or anything else. It's just that, unfortunately, he doesn't look like that guy.
Yeah, Steven Silas, but point made. And that is a fair point. I mean, Alperen Şengün has become an all-star.
Yep. Yep, it's true. Yeah, sometimes you're in a good situation. I mean, I don't think Jalen's been in a bad situation. Sometimes you get –
He was in a bad situation.
Like, how about Baker? Baker going to Cleveland.
Mayfield, yeah.
Yeah, look, I mean he's in a much better place now, right?
But maybe he grew up too. He was an arrogant guy. Yeah, people don't know this about him, or maybe they do. You know, he left the Senior Bowl in the middle of the game, didn't tell anybody, just bailed out. He was doing his own documentary behind the scenes during the draft process, and it was stuff that was pretty. This pretty irritating, but he kept it low key. No one really knew about it. I knew about there was a claim that he had a reason for going to the Senior Bowl, but then I found out the reason he said was not actually the real reason. But he used it as an excuse to look like it was okay to do it. I think Baker was an arrogant, cocky guy who was humbled and then eventually came back and resurrected his career. So some of that was mental. Sam Darnold was in a terrible spot. Who knows what would have happened to Sam Darnold if he was in a better place? Who knows? But those 3 years kind of ruined him. You can say the same thing about David Carr, but David Carr wasn't wired to be an NFL leader. And he even admits that. He said he didn't learn to be a leader until he got to Eli Manning and the Giants. He said not at Houston, not at Carolina. He said it wasn't until he got to the Giants where he learned what it takes to be a quarterback. So he would not have – I don't think he would have ever reached those great heights. But, I mean, Jalen, yes, everything you say is true, but it's also true for Şengün. And Şengün kind of – I just think – I don't want to keep talking about Jalen every day. I think he's taken too many bullets. He's a good player. You just have to ask yourself a question. You have to try to project – what's the best he can be, and how soon can he get there to that best? And is that, with everyone else, good enough to win a championship? It's a puzzle that Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka and Patrick Fertitta are going to have to put together. I mean, it's just, you know, there's no real easy answers to it. It's tricky. And one bad move, and you could screw up this Jenga where the whole thing comes down. There's such great things you're building up. One really bad trade could really short-circuit what you're building. That's the one thing that concerns me about making a trade, is it's got to be a smart one.
Well, what I got out of Gary was that, hey, he's just not that good.
Yeah, he said good. He said he's a good player.
He's good, but he's not a great player.
And that's kind of where I am right now, until he proves me wrong.
Right. And the guys around him in that trade, I mean, in that draft, pretty good.
Hey, Reese put something out there. Devin Booker for Eason. Okay, it'd be Jalen Green, Eason, and Reed Shepard, and two first-rounders. This year's pick and the 29th first-rounder for Devin Booker. Would you do that?
Yes.
I would, too. And
yes.
Middle
know.
Of the season,
Phoenix,
I would have told
Phoenix
you
won't
no.
Do that.
But right now, I would tell you yes.
No. Yep, yep.
Middle of the season, I would have said, nope, not giving up Tari. Nope. But now, after I saw the problems that manifested themselves in the postseason, that frankly we saw in the regular season, it's not like this was unpredictable. It was very predictable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think the Suns. I'm going to have to take him at his word. Ishmael, whatever his name is.
Matt Ishbia.
I'm just going to. He's not trading him. Come up with a good Kevin Durant trade. That can happen. Okay, let's do that. So that, but I'm not believing. I'm not going to hope for Devin Booker. I really like Devin Booker. I've been a big Devin Booker guy for a while.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest Devin Booker guy.
I just don't believe it's going to happen. I just don't. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, your station for getting out on breaks on time. That's what we do here now. It's a different era.
Fastest callers into the show, breaks the most on time. The best breaks.
Best breaks in the business. The fastest to get to your calls in the business, lowest wait time right here.
Ooh,
on this show.
It's a lot of lying going on.
And Underdog Fantasy, that's not a lie.
The best picks on fantasy. Well, what it is the Pick'em Challenge, and I'm going to pull it up right now because this is what we're talking about, right? You're watching these basketball playoffs, and they've got boosts all the time. You've got, let's see, right now I'm looking at, on my app, it just says 25% deposit match, 100% max bonus. You know, they go up to $1,000 on bonus cash whenever you make your deposit. They've got a game called Streaks where you pick two at one time, higher or lower on statistics, and then you can go one at a time after that and then cash out whenever you want to. If you hit five in a row, you can let it ride, or you can just cash out right then and there. And, of course, it will have multiplied by that time you make money. There's a lot of different ways that you can play, but the best way is by playing NBA and getting right now these bonuses that continue to climb game after game after game for you. The more you play, the bigger the bonus. When I say bonus, it's just a multiplier. You have a chance to win more money on the same amount of picks. Go higher or lower on the statistics. It could be points, rebounds, assists combined. It could just be points and rebounds combined. It could be, you know, points in the first quarter. Is the team going to get off to a fast start? You know when teams are typically going to get off to a fast start. And I'm going to tell you now, I think the Celtics get off to a very fast start in the next game. It's a must win. So I'm going higher on Tatum's points in the first quarter. I don't care the number they put up. I'm going higher. And then I've got to think about what I'm going to do with Golden State Warriors. I think that we're going to take a look at maybe going higher on Anthony Edwards as well, since he got called out. So, you know, think about what's going on in the games, what coaches are saying that might impact the game, and go higher or lower. Use your basketball knowledge to win up to 1,000 times your original play. Use promo code Lance and you get up to $1,000 bonus cash on your first deposit. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Our Astros with the day off today. They got the Reds in town. I like watching Eli De La Cruz. I mean,
he's fun.
I just think he's, if not, he's probably the most exciting player in baseball.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
he's going to be in our park. I hope he's not running around the bases real fast like he usually does.
Five-tool talent.
Mm-hmm.
Different.
It's just
this
fun
looks
to watch.
Different than everyone else. Just kind of a long, levered player with, mm-hmm. with tremendous speed, big power. Like, yeah, he's fun to watch.
Yep. I hope he doesn't have any fun this weekend, though. But
no, I'm hoping he has a miserable weekend.
He's got Hunter Brown to contend with. How's that taste?
It's a good matchup there.
Yep.
That's a really good matchup. I wonder how often those two guys have hooked up. Probably not a lot.
No,
can't
American
be a lot.
National.
I'm not. Have they even?
No one knows. It's impossible to know.
Well,
it's impossible.
I don't think so.
Yeah, No, it's impossible to know if we've ever. Baseball doesn't keep detailed stats like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. You can rarely find out what a guy's doing in baseball. When baseball finally starts keeping stats, it's going to be incredible. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and they were talking about AI, and they were talking about how AI, the belief is that music industry will be pretty much cooked within about 5 years. And that's conservatively speaking, because AI is already able to create incredible songs. Now, you are using historically the works, the voices and the sounds and the compositions and you know, everything that goes into a composition of a song and the different notes and the different. So you use that, and then AI continues to learn. It thinks about it. It mixes and matches with other songs you put it together with. And then it retains that knowledge, and so all it's doing is getting infinitely smarter as you continue to feed it information. That's how AI works. Computer learning works. And so the belief is, and I don't know how often you've heard it, John. I've heard plenty of songs that were AI generated, and I thought, ooh, this is pretty good. And the thought is the AI will do irreparable damage to the music industry unless it's somehow checked. And even if you try to check it, somebody behind the scenes is just going to be creating music. They'll put their own touches on it, their own songs. You know, they'll put their own lyrics or their own, you know, maybe their own voice on it. But that'll be it. And they can crank out music every 6 months. There will be something new. So it'll be watered down. But the music industry is in major, major trouble. I was thinking about, you know, the whole thing with Hollywood is what they were fighting for. One of the things they're fighting for beyond, they also want to get, you know, better streaming rights and things like that, the actors, which they should. Their agreement was very outdated. But they're trying the best they can to prevent AI from coming in and taking over Hollywood, because when that happens, all the actors, like, you're putting everyone out of business with AI. And I was thinking, what, like, how is AI going to impact sports? Is it having an impact right now? I know behind the scenes, supposedly there are some teams that are running, you know, models that are, what's the best way to draft? But I don't know. And I don't know that that can quantify important stuff like a guy's behavior, a guy's willingness to be coached, a player's competitive spirit, durability, potential durability, intel you get from a training staff at a college. Like, I'm not sure AI can ever really capture that or quantify that. Because for AI to capture it, it's got to be quantifiable, and it's got to be something that's more tangible. But I wonder how AI is going to have an impact on sports over the next 5 years, or even 10 years in our lifetime. How is it going to make sports different?
Well, I don't think I saved it. There's a poll out that they're using an AI. They're using Fagan's voice to do hockey play-by-play. Have you seen this?
They're using whose voice?
I think it's Fagan. Maybe somebody can help me out on this.
From
but they
Steely
were talking
Dan?
About what the whether or not
Donald
to use.
Fagan?
No.
Oh, okay.
They're whether or not no Petey, not Petey. They're using his voice and it's AI, and they were talking about whether or not they should use Al Michaels. Al Michaels is alive. They should use live Al Michaels if they can, and they were talking and whether or not this are we going to have now announcers that aren't real, just doing like we do with our games, like NCAA and you know, Madden. Is this what the future of broadcasting sports is going to be?
Well, there's been talk about it. Yeah, there's been talk about it. It could have a huge impact on the industry. Now, you have to still be able to recognize what the play is for a play-by-play guy, unless you type it in and then you hear the voice, and that's kind of a waste of time. But once again, what is the benefit of that? You're taking away jobs. You're literally you're ruining your own economy. How do you spend money if you don't make any money? Your economy is going to collapse if people don't have jobs, like completely collapse. If you continue to wipe out all these industries and you just replace it with low-paying jobs, your economy disintegrates. But from just the standard sports, you know, one of the things that Craddock Malhotra told me from A&M, he's one of the best data scientists in the world. He can build something where he can put a playbook into computer vision, his AI, his computer vision tool that he has, and he can teach, and he can basically say, this is the playbook, and this is what should happen against all of these defensive fronts. A coach would have to go in and say, okay, this is who you should block, or this is what your responsibility is. You lay out, on the offensive side, what the responsibility is for each player based on a variety of defensive fronts and the defensive looks. You put that in. You teach it what it's supposed to do. You run plays over and over. You tell it, yes, that's correct. No, that's incorrect. And what it will do is it will score. It will give grades. Like what PFF tries to give grades, this computer can watch the game tape based on a play that's called and can give grades to everybody on the play based on what it's been taught is a plus or a minus in the play. And I'm like, there's too many variables. And I talked to Tyler Oberle, who's another brilliant analytics guy, and you know that I trust and that I do have a side business with. He goes, oh no, Craddock's right. He said they'll put PFF will eventually be put out of business because there's going to be someone like Craddock who teaches the computer how to grade. Now the only way to do it, you have to have human input. Everything requires human input.
Yeah.
But once it's taught, he said.
But again, your dad will tell you. None of them know what that offensive line call.
Yeah,
was.
That's why a coach has to teach. Yes, that was a plus. No, that was a minus. And when the computer gets it wrong, it has to be corrected so it learns the right way. And it requires tremendous amounts of, like, it has to watch the same plays or similar plays over and over and over. But it can do that. It can watch thousands of plays in a single day. That's why I don't think people realize and comprehend what is capable at an exponential rate from an AI standpoint that will change everything that you're thinking about within 2 years. Massive changes are coming with 2 years. I'm just kind of curious how it's going to happen on the sports side because it's harder for me to figure that out.
I'm looking at – there was a fire yesterday in Tuscaloosa, and all this black smoke is coming out. Riley says, black smoke from Tuscaloosa, no starting quarterback has been named.
Yep. That's true. Yep. Did you see Michelle Steele said, look, there's no Pope today, but day two is where there's a lot of great value to be found with Popes. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
That's good stuff. All right. No John Chill on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. He had to bow out this week. He'll join us next week to give us winners right here from the Golden Nugget. But I am talking about Chastain Fort. I'm talking about the employee pricing, which is fantastic. But, you know, it's more than just employee pricing because all Ford dealerships, a lot of Ford dealerships, I don't know all of them, but a lot of Ford dealerships, I think it's a national campaign, employee pricing for Fords. A lot of other ones are doing it too. But are they adding on? Are they marking up? Yep, they are. Do they care about where your payments need to be met? Nope, they don't. Chastain Ford does. One of the first things that they'll ask you, okay, where do your payments have to be? Because it's important to Chastain Ford that you have a vehicle that you feel like, oh, my goodness, this is great. It's a great experience. They don't want you choking on that. They don't want you to have a bad car buying experience that you can't afford the vehicle that you got. They don't want to mark it up and add on stuff that you don't need or want, and then you have to pay for the life of that car. Nope, not doing it. So Chastain Ford's giving you the employee pricing, which is the best pricing, and they're not adding on and they're not marking up. And that's one of the reasons why I bought 4 vehicles from them, and I will continue to buy my vehicles from Chastain Ford, and I hope you do too. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.